This is Glenn Hauser with World of Radio 1430. World of Radio is a listener-supported public service program about communications around the world, primarily shortwave. On this edition, recorded October 15th, propagation anomalies, new station in Nevada, lots of news from Brazil, stations from Argentina to Zanzibar back on the air, Deutsche Welle downgrades the German language, some B08 schedules, new schedules for Myanmar and North Korea, and the propagation outlook. Standard disclaimer. Those of us who've tuned around the 4, 12, or 13 megahertz bands in some other areas have run across a swishing sound. There are pulses about one time per second, sometimes overlapping pulses. They interfere with tropical band stations on 60 meters, stations around 12.1 megahertz and 13.5 to 13.6. This is CODAR, which is ocean wave radar. But what is it really for? In DX Listening Digest, Joe Book in Florida says, I continue to be amazed to hear people repeating the explanation of why CODAR transmissions exist on our high-frequency bands. The official explanation is that the purpose is the scientific study of ocean currents and waves. Back in the early 1970s, NASA launched a satellite to do the same thing. It was soon realized that the satellite was detecting the bulge in the ocean surface over submarines as they stealthily cruise the ocean depths. The NASA satellite revealed the location of both the bad guys' submarines and those of the good guys. The satellite had a sudden power failure and was declared dead. Joe says, in my opinion, the big bucks spent establishing CODAR sites all over the world must have some more serious justification than research on ocean currents. Your guess is as good as mine as to what that motive might be. The sun has started to become a bit active, fortunately, which means we'll have some more interesting shortwave propagation, and we may even have a sunspot peak in a few years. Meanwhile, some strange things can happen. As I was tuning around October 11th at 1325 UT, I found the WEWN signal from Alabama on 11560 in English, which often skips over here, so it's not a solid signal, even though it's very high-powered. I found it had a very rapid, choppy flutter, and the frequency was also fluttering, as I could tell when I put on the BFO, which is attributed to the Doppler effect. Strange propagation, but it was not affecting other U.S. signals on the band, although there was something similar on CBC Northern 9625. Since this WEWN transmission is at an azimuth of 335 degrees, my theory is that most of the signal I was getting, so disturbed, was not direct, but backscatter from the auroral zone. There are other two frequencies on the air at the time, 7425 and 17510, checked a few minutes later, did not exhibit this rapid flutter. And at the time, WWV was reporting the K index is 5, which of course is rather disturbed and much higher than it usually is, although they said there had been no space weather storms. TedRandall.com reported that due to propagation problems, his QSO show on WBCQ Sunday evening, rather Saturday evening, starting at 0300 UT Sunday, would be on 5110 if you were unable to receive it on 7415. Not clear to me whether that meant it would be on both frequencies at the same time, but when I checked after 0300, it was only on 5110 and some preacher on 7415, but it was intended, I understand, to be on both frequencies, at least for the time being, hoping for better coverage both in Eastern and Central and Western North America. I'm sure Ted would be interested in reception reports from all over the country about which frequency works best, as well as the new repeat time on WRMI, starting at 0500 UT Sundays on 9955. On the IRCA list, October 12th, Bill Block in Arizona reported there's a new station on the air in Las Vegas, Nevada, KMZQ 670. The best rock of the 70s and 80s is their format. And they're simulcasting a station in faraway Payson, Arizona. Also called KMZQ on 99.3. This station should be an interesting DX target in much of the country since the NRC AM log says its power is 30,000 watts in the daytime, however, cutting to only 600 watts at night. I looked up their directional patterns on the FCC website and found that they're just the opposite. In the daytime, they beam most of the 30 kilowatts northwestward across the state of Nevada, but still put enough off the back into the city of Las Vegas because the site is to the northwest of the city. At night, with only 600 watts, they reverse that and put almost all their power into the city of Las Vegas. However, both day and night, they have nulls toward Los Angeles, Denver, and Chicago, where there are other 670 stations. Of course, there's another big 670 station in the west, KBOI in Idaho, but apparently the new one has been engineered so it will not have much of an overlap with that one. By the way, I just mentioned the NRC AM log. It's an annual publication on paper only, an essential reference of all the medium wave stations in the U.S. and Canada in frequency order, but with cross-references and a great deal of info about each station. It's really something you cannot do without if you listen to or DX the medium wave band. Details on how to order it may be found at the NRC website, and here comes the URL, www.nrcdxas.org/catalog/books/index-figure-1.html. And they have lots of other publications as well. If you didn't get all that, you can reach it just by going to www.nrcdxas.org. Attention those in the Hamilton, Ontario area. Galcom, that organization which makes fixed-tuned radios for missionary broadcasters to hand out so people can only listen to their own station, is holding its annual banquet Saturday evening, October 25th. The pastor from the Micronesian shortwave station, which appeared about a year ago and then went off and has yet to return, was scheduled to be the banquet speaker, but their website is contradictory info and apparently it's been replaced by someone from Sudan. But it might be an interesting opportunity to meet some other people involved in broadcasting, especially shortwave in remote areas. And they say the banquet is open to the public. However, they asked people to RSVP already by October 14th. More info at banquet@galcom.org. If someone does attend that function, I would be interested in a report about what went on. More snafus from Cuba. 13680 was on the air at 2230 UT in Creole from Radio Havana, Cuba, although supposedly not on that frequency, just 5965. However, this relatively weak signal was overridden by a much stronger carrier at 2249. That's the Havana Relay of Venezuela. So two Cuban transmitters were on the same frequency at the same time, interfering with each other. Havana's Guarani language service at 2230 on 17705 was rather distorted, but I was surprised to hear it going from Guarani into Portuguese. Maybe they don't have enough to say in Guarani to fill up the half hour. Noel Green in England was surprised to hear Radio Havana still on the air in English after 0700 UT Sunday on 6000 kilohertz. Well, that frequency is supposed to stay on the air until 0730 on Sundays, but in Esperanto, not in English. We mentioned before Radio Cultura São Paulo's 31-meter band frequency, 9615, is jumping all over the band, landing on many other frequencies as of October 7th. In the afternoon or evening, it was on 9285. A spurious signal, but audible, quite strong as well, says Marcelo Xavier Vieira in the Rádio Escutas group. By now, it's no doubt jumped to some other 9 megahertz frequency. And that new Brazilian on 9820, Rádio 9 de Julho, is gone again. A number of Brazilian DXers were looking for it, but no longer hearing it, such as Jorge Freitas in the Paraná de X Clube. and we have word about exactly what happened, thanks to Carlos Andre in Sao Paulo, who posted to the Radio Escutas group that he contacted the coordinator of Radio 9 de Julio, who confirmed that 9820 had been turned off. They had been testing it, he said, but some more adjustments needed to be made, and it needed to stay off the air in the meantime, and some more details had to be resolved with Brazil's FCC, Anatel, although he did not explain what, and they expected to return at the beginning of November. On October 13th, Celio Romais and Adalberto Marques de Azevedo were hearing on 9585, which is a global frequency in Brazil, a mixture of programming, including the Igreja del Zé Amor, apparently more than one audio stream at the same time. Carlos Gonçalves in Portugal sends long lists of Brazilian shortwave stations he has logged, including Rádio Rio Mar in Manaus on 9695. On October 10th, they had news at 2100 UT and signed off about 2105. That's their usual closing time on that frequency, but he heard it again in the morning from 10:05 until fade out at 11:50. An inactive station on 90 meters, Rádio Cultura de Araraquara, returned briefly on 3365. Heard on October 11th at midnight 30 UT with football. Strange programming for a so-called cultural station, reported by Michel Vianney in Rádio Escutas. However, they then went off the air again, so perhaps they just turned it on for that special event. Daylight shifting time starts in Brazil on October 19th. The heavily populated areas along the southern and eastern coast switch from UT-3 to UT-2, which will result in some changes in shortwave scheduling. However, according to timeanddate.com, a number of states will not be observing DST this summer, which means the reorganized time zones in UT-4 will stay there rather than going to UT-3 in Amazonas, Pernambuco, Bahia, Sergipe, Pará, Paraíba, Ceará, Amapá, Alagoas, Rondônia, Rio Grande do Norte, Piauí, Maranhão, Acre, and Roraima. After a sesquimonth off the air, RAI in Argentina resumed shortwave, first reported October 8th at 21:54 by Ron Howard in California on 15345.17. But they don't seem to have made any improvements beyond being able to turn the transmitter on again. Frequency still varies, and it's never exactly where it's supposed to be. More recently, it's been measured slightly on the low side of 15345, the same transmitter on weekends carrying Radio Nacional for sports programming. And the same transmitter, presumably, is the one that which appears on weekday evenings on approximately 11710, including English at 0200. I was able to detect a weak carrier around 11710.7 or 8, presumably from that. There have been some occasional reports from Europe of Radio Kahuzi, the low-powered missionary station in the Congo, on 6210. Quite a DX target due to its limited schedule and low power. That's in the Congo DR near Bukavu. However, a reminder from Luca Bottofiora in Italy, PlayDX, that unless you're positive that's what you heard, you might well have heard instead a mixing product of the Voice of Greece. 15630-9420, two of the transmitters at Avalis, put out a mixing product on 6210 when both of them are on the air, and both of them do go on the air at 0600 and 1600 UT. So if you do hear something on 6210, better check those Greek frequencies to be sure it's not parallel. The media magazine you monitor with your mind, World of Radio, number 1430. Much more info is available from our website, especially the archive of DX Listening Digests, upon which this program is based, worldofradio.org. Our thanks for financial support go to Thomas McLaughlin in Lubbock, Texas, who sends an annual check in memory of Gigi Lytle to our postal address, P.O. Box 1684, ENID OK 73702. One Africa puts such a good signal into North America that some listeners have doubts it's actually coming all the way from Zambia, such as Harold Froge in Michigan, who logged it before and after 2000 UT, October 7th on 13590. He says there was fundamentalist New Testament thumpage and rock music, IDs as One Africa and CVC, all in English. He says there was just a touch of fading, awfully good if it really came from Zambia. Well, I checked the globe and found that they have a 315-degree azimuth from Lusaka, which goes across Nigeria, its intended target, but then goes on across the Atlantic via the Azores and Cape Breton Island, and guess what? Across the Upper Peninsula of Michigan. So, Harold was only about 3 degrees away from the bore site of that beam. But at this distance, it also covers the rest of North America quite well, and it has that trans-equatorial advantage. In ADX, via Wolfgang Büschel, Torsten Hamann in Germany notes that Zanzibar was back on the air as of October 8th on 11735. Not sure how long it had been off. Of course, it's mainly in Swahili, heard around 1900 UT. There is usually an English news relay from a local station called Spice FM for a few minutes at 1800. However, on occasion, they put it on 2 hours later instead at 2000 UT. And that was the case on October 9th when Jose Miguel Romero in Spain was hearing it. We usually can't be positive which country a pirate is coming from, especially in Europe, but everyone seems to agree that Reflections Europe is actually coming from Ireland. Terry Krieger in Florida was hearing it on 6295, October 12th, from 2059 to 2210 UT. It was clear but weak with a UK accent. Some canned religious programs. He says the signal never improved, and it's reportedly on the air Sundays only. He also checked the parallel frequency, but nothing heard there, 12255. And the Senate of Radio Netherlands confirms that they'll be adding or resuming a service in Arabic October 26th. In fact, they'll have 3 different hours. The very same date, they drop 3 hours in English to North America. Quite a coincidence. The tentative frequencies, they still might be changed for the new Arabic service, all via different transmitter sites are, and these are Monday through Friday only, at 19 UT, 11830 South Africa, at 2000, 7385 Vatican, and at 2200, 5970 via France, according to Wolfgang Büschel and Dragan Lekic. Kai Ludwig adds that in return, Vatican Radio will get a slot via Bonaire at 03 to 04 UT on 9660. Furthermore, on the new B08 schedule is an English broadcast via the Trincomalee site in Sri Lanka, normally used only for Deutsche Welle, at 2300 UT on 1548 kHz. So it appears that Radio Netherlands would rather broadcast English at 4:30 a.m. local time to India than any English in prime time to North America. I would dearly love to see the audience figures for that early morning broadcast in South Asia. On the contrary, here's a country where it appears that English broadcasting may be increased at the expense of the native language. Kai Ludwig says the German Focus magazine reports about a draft of the Deutsche Welle plans for the period from 2010 to 2013, a remark by the director Eric Bedermann. Important audiences can be reached only by considerably increasing the amount of English language offerings. A very strained financial situation is said to make measures necessary cost savings at the expense of Deutsche Welle's German language services. DW employees have already founded an initiative called Pro Deutsche Welle that calls these plans a goodbye to our audiences. The Focus report also points out that DW is required by law to promote the German language. Meanwhile, Joe Hanlon points out that Deutsche Welle has already put up its B08 transmission schedule. Taking a look at that, I see that the 2100 broadcast via Rwanda, which has been excellent in North America, even though intended for West Africa, during this entire A season on 11865 and 15205, that transmission will be relayed via Rwanda only on 11690, which has radio teletype interference. The earlier English broadcasts, via Rwanda are for East rather than West Africa and probably not so well heard here. They'll be on 9735 at 1900 and 2000. I also see that 6180 will be on the air for English via Rwanda at 0400 to 0530. And apparently VOA Greenville will be leaving 6180, where it had been providing excellent reception starting at 0500 once Cuba moved to 6140. DXMix News in Bulgaria publishes the B08 schedule for Croatian radio, home service relay. These are the ones direct from the Croatian site rather than the relay via Germany. The usual frequencies, 6165 starting at 0558, moving to 9830 at 0858, and to 6165 at 1458. And then at 2158, rounding out the 24 hours, on 3985. This shows 100 kilowatts as the power on all of these frequencies. However, Wolfgang Büschling, Kai Ludwig in Germany say there's no way 3985 has been running 100 kilowatts. In fact, it sounds more like just a few kilowatts. Maybe it's a 10-kilowatt transmitter with an antenna that cannot handle higher powers. Also, it's off frequency around 3984.84. In Playdx, however, Acker Petersen in Denmark was monitoring 3985. October 12th at 2205, it was weak with big modulation problems. However, at 2245, the modulation was okay and strength much better. So he thinks at that strange hour they may have switched to the 100 kilowatt transmitter, which is earlier used on 6165. By the way, 3985 is an interesting frequency. Besides Croatia, at different times of the day, there's a Korean clandestine, Iran, and Bolivia. In Playdx, Luca Botofioro in Italy reports hearing a program in English from Bosnia and Herzegovina, BH Radio 1 on medium wave 612 kilohertz. It's called the World Chart Show. Very good signal at his location at 1730 UT on a Sunday. Roman Pankov in Bulgaria, Dragan Lekic in Serbia, and Wolfgang Büschel in Germany note that Romania seems to have now replaced another of its ailing shortwave transmitters. This is at the minor site Saftica, which carries only certain Eastern European language programs, but much better modulation and signal since about October 8th. For example, Serbian at 1930 on 6130. Terry Kruger in Florida reports hearing Yemen radio in Sana'a on 6005. For a few minutes before sign-off at 2200 UT, October 9th, in Arabic, but with some Western music. And underneath it was BBC World Service in English. Ron Howard in California noted some different sign-off times from Myanmar, monitoring October 14th, the Defense Forces station at Taungye on 5770, was heard from 1418 until off at 1431. Earlier in the month, they had been signing off around 1530 UT. They were in vernacular with pop songs and a brief selection of indigenous instrumental music, weak but clear. And Myanmar radio on 9730.77 in vernacular in English until sign-off at 1510 UT. China has finally vacated some frequencies that came on after the earthquake in Sichuan. Hiroshi via Seichi Hasegawa in Japan reports that the special broadcasts finished on October 8th. The frequencies involved 13840, 12015, and 9740. That means less interference for BBC on 9740, and maybe New Zealand will again be able to use 13840. Hiroshi and Seichi Hasegawa also report that two clandestines from South to North Korea have added another service. Echo of Hope is on 3985, as I mentioned, 6003 and 6348 at 03 to 05 and 11 to 19 UT, but now they've added another 2 hours at 22 to midnight UT. Furthermore, Voice of the People on 3912, 6518, and 6600 at 11 to 21 UT has also added another broadcast at the same time, 22 to midnight UT in the local mornings. Mong Lao Radio via WHRI 11785 was missing Saturday, October 11th during the 1300 UTR, but it was back on Sunday the 12th, so I'm not sure if that was just a problem or a schedule change. However, when that transmitter is missing, it makes it possible to hear the voice of Indonesia on 11786. In any event, WHRI is not on the air on weekdays anyway, and to our surprise, VOI has actually been listenable a couple of mornings lately during the English hour at 13 UT, including Monday with Indonesian lessons around 13:30. That new program on Radio Australia, replacing Australian Express, I mentioned last week, is called The Australian Bite and spelled B-I-T-E. I found it on their website. It occupies one of the times previously occupied by Express, Tuesday at 13:30. Among other times are Tuesday at 17:05, Friday at 18:30, Saturday at midnight 30, and 05:05, if I interpret their confusing schedule correctly. However, I did not hear it on CBC overnight, Sunday at 12:30 via CKZU on 6160. Via Horacio Negro, Tomas Ingenpass in Germany reports in the UDXF group that Rainer Branolte has launched a virtual museum of radio communications dedicated to ancient utility stations between 9 kilohertz and 30 megahertz, with legendary sound files of stations that ceased long ago and some QSLs as well. I enjoyed hearing some old voice markers from point-to-point stations. It's www.utilityradio.com. Sunspot Alert. Spaceweather.com reported October 11th, a new cycle sunspot belonging to Cycle 24 is emerging from the sun's northeastern limb, the third time in as many weeks that a new cycle sunspot has interrupted the year's remarkable run of blank suns. The accelerating pace of new cycle production is an encouraging sign that while solar activity remains very low, the cycle is unfolding more or less normally. We are not stuck in a permanent solar minimum. Did you know that October 20th to 24th is Solar Week? Ken Fletcher in the BDXC UK says it's apparently for schools in the US, but it might be of interest to others involved in propagation. Details at www.solarweek.org. The long-haul trans-equatorial FMDX season is underway from the Caribbean to southern Brazil. We're seeing a number of reports we can only dream about in North America, in Atividade de Xixe and the DX Club of Paraná. For example, stations in Trinidad on 88.9, 91.1, and 105.1, reported by Marcelo Xavier Vieira in Paraná. These are roughly between midnight and 02 UT. Rubens Ferraz Pedroso has logged many more from Antigua, Guadeloupe, St. Vincent, and the Grenadines, and Barbados. Samuel Cacho Martins in Sao Paulo also heard CBC Barbados on 94.7. Propagation outlook from Boulder issued October 14th. ANK indices peaking at 15 and 4 October 30th, 35 and 6 November 7th. Solar flux peaking at 75 October 17th to 20th, down to 67 October 29th, back up to 72 by November 10th. Glenn Hauser concluding World of Radio 1430.